Studio Space Junk is hosting Coffee and Conversation with artist Michael McCamish on Saturday, June 13th from 10 to 11:30 a.m. I was at the gallery speaking with the gallery owner Diana Edwards and the current artist on display, Michael McCamish. Studio Space Junk is a really unusual name for a very special place. It's on Fraser Avenue and is not only a studio for artist work, but it has a level of creativity that you don't find in too many places. What do you do here?
Well, we are a small art gallery that exclusively shows film and darkroom photography. And we have a darkroom where we offer beginner lessons and membership, as well as having a professional photographer that can come in and do advanced lessons, and then provide a modest selection of supplies for film, paper, chemicals, and some other accessories on top of that.
With digital photography going crazy, you can take 1,000 pictures and throw all of them away but the one or two. Do you find that you have a lot of people still willing to invest in the film and the time it takes to develop?
I think that there is a trend going back towards that. I think an older generation, they're done with film and they've moved on to digital, but when you have younger people that actually grew up with digital, a lot of them are coming back to film to play with it. They're very curious about it.
There are things you can do with film pre-processing and during the actual processing itself that's quite a bit different than just digitally editing later.
I think the biggest thing is you have to actually think about what you're doing. I mean, you really can do a lot of things with the camera, whether it's digital or a film camera, to get the same effects, but I think with film you have to actually plan for it, and that's the main difference.
That's a big part of it. I mean, that there is definitely a sense of, like what you're doing right now with this microphone. You're able to edit and really tune in to exactly what you want, but with a photograph, the film, it's what it is, but you go into the dark room and you become another photographer inside the dark room. It's two different photographers working, the dark room and the first camera, the picture that's taken. There is manipulation on both ends to some extent, but with the digital realm, you can really obscure a picture completely much more than you would with a film. But the thing about film, it makes you actually physically do this thing, and you're engaged on a physical level, and it's difficult, it's challenging. I mean, you really have to learn a technique, whereas just about anybody can sit down on a computer and press buttons and make things look pretty.
You have photographs framed on the wall as a temporary exhibit. Most I see are black and white. There's a big difference in working in the black and white world. You have to frame your subject completely differently than you do when there's color. What do you think is the biggest difference for you?
It's the light. It's all about the light. With black and white, if you look at what creates variation in black and white, the different tones of black and white exist. Like this picture right here, it's blurred. And what creates that blurredness is very much, well, the light that was present at that moment. Color, you're dealing with the dimension of color. And black and white, there's variation to work with, but when I'm looking at a photograph, I'm looking at something to shoot, my interest is nothing about the green here. You know, it's nothing about that. It's about what light is available to expose what my subject is. And there's something that I do miss sometimes, like that green and is just gorgeous right there. I would love to capture that. But with black and white, there's more, in a sense, subtlety to me.
Yeah, your greens and your blues. I think this is a thing for like beginner photographers, that you take a lot of pictures of plants that you think are going to look amazing, and you get them back and they're very much gray. And you keep doing it over and over again until you finally learn that this is maybe something for color. So I think it's just a matter of understanding how that color translates through black and white, and that some things will pop better with color.
When you look at a black and white, there are so many different shades of gray involved, and different colors become different shades of gray.
Yes.
How long did it take you to learn to anticipate what was going to come out based on the colors you see when you're shooting black and white?
I understood a little bit early on, but really what has helped me understand it more is getting into the dark room. and understanding that you can work with the different shades and pull the shades out through the darkroom process. It's been through experimentation of taking a lot of bad photographs, also thinking that there was something there. When you're looking at a print in the darkroom, you judge it by the highs and lows, the darks and the lights. That's where you understand that you have a good shot, but the shades are very important to capture as well. But you're really judging the photograph is on the highs and the lows.
A lot of people take photographs. They Yes. take pictures. They put them on Facebook. They share them with their friends. What makes a photograph art instead of just a photograph?
When I started taking myself serious with my photographs is when, through my friends, they started to say, whoa, that's a really interesting shot. Let me look at this a little bit more in-depthly. So when I had multiple friends who were artists themselves or just friends that weren't, when they started to do that, when it drew them into the photograph to wonder and to think, then I started thinking to myself, like, oh, well, maybe I'm doing something here. You know, that's it. I think that black and white has a quality that is, in a sense, ageless. If you look at some of my photographs, like this one right here, some people look at that and say, it looks like it could be from a different time. There's, in a sense, an aged quality about that.
Now, the photograph you're referring to is NYC 2000, which is New York City.
Yeah.
It's very obviously a subway.
Mm-hmm.
You have two gentlemen sitting on the subway, and they are dressed. One's in a suit and one's in a button-down plaid shirt and looks like khakis. And it does look almost vintage because the clothing could come from any time. But the frames of his glasses and the portfolio he's holding are a little too modern for the vintage look.
Exactly. It says .com right here, howwasyourday.com. So you realize it's of modern time. And also, for this picture, I tainted the paper with tea. I colored it with tea so that it's kind of a yellowy feel, a warmer feel to the paper. And so that gives it a little bit of an aged quality too.
Almost a sepia overtone without being sepia.
Exactly. And you can use certain chemicals to capture the sepia effect, but I just used plain old black tea. Yeah.
When you're in the dark room, first of all, you have your film, you have an idea of what's going to be on it and where it's going to be. But you have control over how long that photograph is going to process. Is it going to be a short process to it so it's kind of too white, a little ghostly maybe?
Yeah.
Are you
going
to let it go a long time so you get richer depth and the differences between your shadows and your light? How do you decide that picture is ready, I can stop now?
That's a great question, because what I did with all these pictures, except for the color ones, is I took photographs that had been developed in the darkroom by a professional developer back in California. I used those photos in my darkroom with my film, my original film, to aim and shoot for what they had already developed for me. And so I'm relatively new in the darkroom. This is like my third year. This was one of the best learning processes that I've ever put myself through, and it was painful because on one picture I would literally spend 8 hours just producing prints trying to get the right variation. And in my mind the whole time I was thinking, how did the original developer get that and know that it was possible? Well, if you look at a negative, people who have done it long enough, you can look at a negative and you know what potential that negative has and you know where you want to take it. But for somebody like myself, I have to go in and just trial and error. I think that's one of the beautiful things about film photography is that you have to work at it, and there's a mastered skill at it. It does cost money because you have to spend paper, you know, but the better you get, the less paper you use, the more efficient you become.
Some of these photographs I'm seeing, it'll say Italy or different canyons or off in the Redwoods or there's Ecuador. You traveled quite extensively with your camera.
Yeah.
Why did you choose these settings for your art?
I'm an anthropologist. I did my research in the prison system and I traveled to different prisons in the world. So everywhere I traveled, I took my camera and I took my K1000 with me. That was just where I was, so I just had my camera. A lot of the pictures are in San Francisco in the Bay Area, which is where I was for 14 years. I just never went out the door without my camera. It was just constantly with me. The subject matter, though, goes back and forth from what you see over here on this wall are elements of nature And over here is, I did a lot of street photography. And that's when I was walking the street of San Francisco every day. I worked in the homeless population as a social worker. And so I was just on the street a lot. And I really was addicted to engaging with people with the camera.
This one over here, Sheila, Italy.
Yes.
It's a bunch of shadows.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like a world of its own. But there's very little that's actually photographed. You're talking walls and the ground.
Yeah.
But the picture is found in the shadows.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of have to look at, in a sense, abstractly, space and light. And yes, I was walking through this tunnel, and I just saw the light coming through these pillars and reflecting off the pillars. And I said, whoa. That's trippy. You know? And so I took the photograph. Yeah, I mean, it is about seeing light in a sense, in an abstract way. The eye is drawn because of that.
Yeah. Well, if that hadn't been a brightly lit place, you wouldn't have the story that this picture tells.
Yes, yeah. I mean, the end of the day, you see the light. The end of the day, typically, if you're walking through nature in particular, the trees really come to life because that light is... The sun is going down, and it's just reflecting off the trees just perfectly well. If you look over here, this photograph right here was done as the last bit of sunlight was going down. I took that photograph, and then I tried to rewind it and take another one, and the light was gone. That picture was not there anymore. It was there for like maybe 2 minutes. And so it is about the perfect equation of light and your camera being ready for it.
How long will this be on display?
Michael McCamish's exhibition will be here through July 24th.
What are your hours?
Monday through Friday, 1 to 5:30. And I'm a very nice person, so if you want to come in outside of those hours, all you have to do is ask.
You have a kind of meet and greet with Michael coming up. And what are the details?
Well, this will be Coffee with the Artist. So if you are interested in anything you've heard, we'd love it if you came down and had some coffee, some pastries, and looked around and talked to him about his art. Coffee and Conversation with Michael McCamish will be Saturday, June 13th from 10 a.m. till 11:30 a.m.
Studio Space Junk is located at 436 Fraser Avenue. Free parking is available at the back of the building. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.